AA Radio 1050 AM. Smart Health Talk offers the kind of information that can save your life and save you money, making sure you're getting the biggest Smart Health bang for your buck. We'll keep you up to date on the latest in nutrition, health, and what it takes to keep your home safe for you and your family. Remember, tune in every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. for Smart Health Talk, KCAA Radio 1050 AM.
NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
The station that leaves no listener behind.
KCAA Loma Linda. News Talk Radio for the Inland Empire.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side, where the birds and the bees survive. Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. Out the window, finish up the beer. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie to see Mother Nature's sigh?
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk. Well, we have a really special show planned for you today because we're going to talk about Valentine's Day. Now, Valentine's Day is about love, romance, and a night to remember. At least, I think that's what most people are hoping for. For some, though, it may be that love comes from close friends or relatives, and they may choose to spend a nice evening having Valentine's dinner with those that are closest to them. But then others may, Valentine may be the love of their life. And, you know, if you like, you would like to find, or for others, it could be that, hey, you know, you've just been thinking, boy, I would really like a chance to prove to someone that I think that we could have something going there. And so Valentine's Day could actually be a great time to ask that person to come and join you for dinner. So, what it comes down to is Valentine's Day is really a perfect excuse to devote a day to love. Most of us will make the effort will have a good feeling the next day and maybe even a little of a smile on your face there, because when you take a moment to love and be loved, it's healing. It's a good thing. And so many of us have been really caught up in so much nowadays. Things have been going on and probably forgot about taking the time out for that. So let's take this Valentine's Day to really take a moment and focus on the people that we love and spending time with them. So a simple romantic dinner is a great place to start when you're planning your Valentine's Day. And we're going to, recipe that we have for a great meal today that we're going to have a couple of guests that are going to be helping us with. We decided that we wanted to keep it hot, GMO and gluten-free. So you're going to get that all here today. And guess what? It's going to be easy to do. Anyone can do this. And not only do the ingredients in this meal help get things heated up, but if you follow our suggestions to not settle for anything less than top quality ingredients, you will be sure to score high in the cooking department for sure. Just trust us on this one. So unlike engagement chicken that tries to set high standards for getting a ring, all that our keeping it hot chicken is hoping to do is, you know, try to get things started, maybe put a little fire there and, you know, we're also going to have some other things to go with it, a great side dish and a wonderful dessert. So to give us ideas on how to set this up, prepare it, and add some simple romantic touches to our meal, we have award-winning chef Lance Corliss, and we also, who's been all over Hollywood and contributed his expertise to movies, television productions, either in front of the camera or behind the camera, award nights, dinners. He's been a personal celebrity chef and much more. So, Chef Lance, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Doing fantastic.
Okay. And then in addition to Lance, Chef Lance, we also have Ingrid Liscon, and she's the founder of Andrean Dream and also the creator of many of the wonderful quinoa gluten-free products that we're going to be using in our Valentine's dinner today. So, Ingrid, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Elaine. Hi, Chef Lance.
Hi, how are you doing, Ingrid?
Great.
So this is our Valentine's Day team, everybody. We're here to make this, help you to make this a really special day. And if the person that you love is on a gluten-free diet, you're going to be right in there with everything that they can eat with this meal. So for Chef Lance, I mean, I'm just so glad that you're here because you're really giving us the male perspective today, which is like on love and romance. You know, we need to have the male perspective on this too, not just as gals here. So I'm hoping you're going to give us a little bit of inside info, because I'm sure there's lots of women out there that would love to hear, get a little peek inside the male brain there. So, and, you know, from what I hear, I mean, you know, this is actually a pretty romantic time in your life, because you're actually a newlywed who has just got married that not that long ago. Is that right?
Correct. I got married on October 10th, 2010.
Okay. So, yeah, that is definitely still a newlywed. So what, you know, like if you, what do you consider like the components of a romantic dinner? And, like, you know, what kind of things would you do to kind of go through the process of creating that romantic experience for your customer? Because you do that, like, all the time in your job, really, don't you?
Correct. I think what you have to have is you have to have the perfect venue. If you don't have the perfect venue, it's not going to work, whether it's in the privacy of your own dining room, or if you want to do a, what I did once for a client, I did a romantic dinner for two in bed.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Just like skip that dining table.
Exactly. Because, you know, everybody does breakfast in bed, but why not try a romantic dinner for two in bed? Which I think it's great, because then you could not eat something real heavy, but you go something with, you know, the light, the gluten-free pastas, for example, from Andrean Dream, which is a great, you know, product to do it. And that just fills you up a little bit and it doesn't overgorge you. So you have a little light dessert and then you could, as the chef say, it was I, disappear from the action that's going to transpire when I leave the room.
So I love that. And that's, you know, that actually fits perfect with the way that we designed this whole Valentine's Day meal, because we did just keep it simple. You know, I'm all about vegetables. I mean, I'm all the time I'm saying, okay, that's got to be like half your plate. But when it came to this Valentine's meal, I'm sorry, like, you know, all rules go out the window. It's just, this is all about making it the most special day that you can. And, you know, we kept it down to a minimum with just, you know, because really, you know, one of our goals is just, we want to get them there. You know, we want to make this like an offer they can't refuse. And if you have all these great things and, you know, as part of your meal, then probably the chances of them saying yes are going to be increased. And I'm all about increasing the odds in my favor.
Well, I think too is, what I'm a really huge believer in also, especially, you know, before my wife and I got married, I had the romance go about, try to do it a few weeks in advance too. Don't just do it for this holiday, for Valentine's Day. Always keep the romance in there. Even though we don't have enough time, you know, to really do it, which time is a key issue, but always throw a little romance in there, because, you know, make it romantic. So either from a man's standpoint or even a woman's standpoint, you want to do it in that stance so you can get it to that next level.
And that is like such great advice. I mean, people need to be reminded of that, because some people, oh, I know that, but you know what? We have to be reminded of. I'm a dietitian, but I got to read nutrition stuff all the time to remind myself to stay on track. Now, Ingrid,
yeah,
to me is just like, you know, the epitome of, you know, Valentine's Day here, because she is having her fifth wedding anniversary on Valentine's Day.
You're right, Elaine. That's correct.
And so that's the day you guys were married.
We were married on Valentine's Day. My husband always reminds his friends, my wife picked a day that I'll never forget.
Okay. That is a really good strategy. So like, is there, you know, one of the things I think we had talked about really stressing today, because when you were telling me about, like, some of your memories that you've had with your husband that were some of the most romantic, it wasn't that you were necessarily doing something that, like, cost a lot of money and took a lot of effort. It was, you know, just even those simple, type of experiences that didn't really involve a lot, but just you two spending time together and focusing on each other.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Elaine. You know, my husband was a former diplomat, and through that arena in life, we had an opportunity to travel to a lot of exotic places and experience wonderful things. But I think you're right. The very best memories that we have are the simple things, just being together, nothing elaborate. I mean, the picnic on the beach or going even a car trip and stopping in a local, you know, neighborhood place that's out of the way that we're discovering together. And just that quality time, that's the most important thing.
And that's what we're really talking about today. We're talking about, you know, just a simple evening together to really focus on each other, but have it centered around, like, some of the very best quality food that you can have. Instead of spending money on, you know, expensive type of things, to just focus on, you know, a really good quality, simple meal that has all the components that people like. And we're going to get into that couple of minutes, and we're going to give you some more details on how to pull all this off, so don't leave us.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle.
Naya, Canada's most environmentally conscious bottled water, is very proud to announce that its already recyclable bottles are now made from 100% recycled plastic. Naya is the first bottled spring water in the world to do that. So in addition to its recycling activities, Naya uses no new plastic to make its water bottles.
Naya, Naya, Naya.
A natural source of progress.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here talking about Valentine's Day and how to make this really romantic and prepare a really simple meal that anyone could do. I thought that, hey, I'm, you know, adding some spice and heat here where they're keeping it hot chicken. And then here comes Chef Lance, you know, with a suggestion on just start off in bed, you know, kind of thing. I have to say, I think you trumped me on that one.
I didn't mean to trump you on something. It's just saying, if you're going to serve the hot chicken, why not make it hot all the way around?
Exactly. I think I'm going to be, like, thinking about that one. I just think it's, like, such a great suggestion and very creative and unique. So thank you so much for that. And so, you know, my next question had to do with a romantic setting. It's like, okay, how can you get more romantic than that? But if, you know, maybe you're just, you know, this is a love that's just, you know, starting
up. Well, if it's just starting too, Elaine, I think what you could do too is, like, what is more romantic than doing, like, a little picnic basket and taking it and watching the sunset? Maybe if you go for a little small hike or on the beach.
Yes.
Or even, you know, I mean, especially in the Southern California area where we have, of course, picture-perfect weather, you know.
That's, you know, always. And how much does that cost? You know, anybody
exactly.
can do that.
And I think what you should do is stay in tune to exactly what your partner is going to enjoy, what they like, because you want to knock their socks off. Because I feel as long as I'm with my wife, doesn't matter where I'm at, but I want, because I'm with her, but, she, you know, of course, she likes to be in certain areas, which steps it up to another level.
Well, and that's kind of why, you know, we do talk a lot about, like, organic ingredients on the show and that. And, you know, this is, like, one of the times. A lot of people think, you know, I can't afford that. But a difference between an organic chicken and a conventional chicken is only a few dollars. But the taste, because I go and read comments that people write. And I have read a lot of comments where people say, you know, gosh, the first time I ever had organic chicken, it just tasted so much different. And it's literally the one taste has changed people where they're just like, you know, I don't even want to go back to the other chicken. So I just look at it as like Valentine's Day is a day that at least with the food, you can kind of pull out the stops. Because our little Valentine's Day dinner plan here, it doesn't really require that many ingredients. But so you only have to buy a few ingredients. Why not buy the very best and just, you know, give them like the top quality? Because even like berries, you know, they can be much sweeter when they're organic. So, you know, that was like kind of one thing that was important to me, because I want to leave that person going, wow. Actually, I would like to stay in their head for a very long time. And have them, I want chicken to never be the same again for them. I want them to just always think, God, this chicken just isn't quite as good as that chicken that I had over at Elaine's house. And, you know, that's kind of a way that you always win, you know, because if you cook them a meal like they've never had before and they're always going to remember it, at least, you know, if the romance doesn't work out, at least you won on that one.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Oh, well, thank you, because I was kind of wondering if you did or not. So, okay, so we, you know, before Ingrid has to leave us after this segment, so I did want to give Ingrid a little bit of time, because she's the person that developed the quinoa pasta and the cookies that we're going to be using in these recipes that Chef Lance and I are going to be talking about in the second half of the show. And, you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about this pie? Because there are other gluten-free pastas out there, other gluten-free cookies. You know, why would, you choose to make the products the way that you did? And then I would like to ask Chef Lance, you know, why did he choose your cookies to make his pie crust recipe, which is, from what I hear, there's really not that many out there that even taste that great. So the fact that he's been able to use your cookies to make a great-tasting gluten-free pie crust, I guess, is actually pretty, revolutionary, because there isn't really that much out there for people.
It's true, and he's come up with an amazing pie. As a matter of fact, we're featuring the recipe on our website. So if you are interested in this recipe, go to andyanddream.com under recipes, and you will see Chef Lance and his recipe, and you can make it at home.
And plus, they can read about your products there and the story behind the company. Because trust me, the story behind Andrean Dream is, it's almost kind of a tearjerker. And Ingrid has just done some really incredible things helping other people have a way to even be able to support their families, which is just so great about this product. But when you, like, design this pasta, because we've had chefs tell us this pasta, this gluten-free pasta, is like no other pasta because of just how it holds up. It doesn't get mushy. It stays al dente, which I had to look up because I wasn't really sure about that, but now I know.
And actually, what kind of sets it apart is it's made in Bolivia with royal quinoa, which is a very special variety of quinoa that only grows in Bolivia next to a 6,000-year-old salt lake. So it's mineral-enriched. And one little 8-ounce box of our pasta has 24 grams of protein and 21 amino acids. So it's really healthy. Aside from cooking al dente, it's packed with protein, lots of amino acids. And it just has such a nice flavor. You feel as though, even though it's gluten-free, that you're getting that sense of eating a semolina pasta. And I think Lance can speak very well about it. He's worked with it as a chef, and he's familiar with it.
I mean, the pasta, Ingrid and Elaine, is by far, I tell other chefs that I know that if you're going gluten-free, this pasta is the way to go, because there's other gluten-free pastas on the market, which are good products, but you can't cook them off and then, cool them down and refrigerate them and cook them again, because they turn to mush. And one thing about, you know, the Andean Dream product, it has the quinoa and it has just only rice flour in it also, which if you see other, you know, gluten-free pastas on the market, they have either three to four different ones.
And there's also, you know, one that has corn, and of course a lot of people are staying away from corn because it's so hard to digest, and the whole issue of GMOs.
Exactly. That's to me is a really big one because you're organic.
And
what,
exactly.
Yes.
It's, see, her pasta is totally organic and vegan, and the same with her cookies. And that's what is amazing about this product. I mean, it's I call it the Rolls Royce of gluten-free products because it's by far nothing stands the test. And I've been testing gluten-free products for a while. And I even have a very good friend of mine who's in the business who makes a gluten-free pizza dough, and he loves this pasta product. He was, like, blown away by it.
And I think, don't a lot of people that are on gluten-free diet, don't they just kind of yearn for that real flavor that they were used to?
Of course. They're yearning for that flavor, but they also want something that's going to hold up to the one they used to have, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with semolina flour, it holds the test, you know? There's other brands, you know, of pasta that aren't gluten-free that you can cook them and then refrigerate them, and they hold up when you put them in a sauce. And that's what's great about this Andean Dream product, is her product does that. I mean, I made a gluten-free mac and cheese, which was, my gosh, kind of like I fed it to a few people, and they're like, is this Kraft?
Oh, really?
They were blown away by it. They were like, because I made it creamy and stringy, you know, with the cheese. But it was like, you know, it wasn't, you know, of course, 100% vegan because we use dairy. But they were blown away by how it almost, in comparison, tasted like Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Well, everyone, we're going to have to break here in just a few seconds, but I don't want you to leave because we're going to actually be talking to the chef about this mac and cheese recipe and how he makes it. And then I have another version that I'm going to be sharing with you, too, that is not quite as, like, going to have like that great stringy effect like his, but is easy to make. Okay. Like anyone can do it. And, please don't leave for that. Cause who does not love mac and cheese? That's why we have it on the menu. Everybody loves it. And you know, you can't go wrong with that. And Ingrid, I just want to thank you for joining us today and for, you know, making these really great products because people don't realize, you know, when you've just been given that, diagnosis, especially, or those that are just trying gluten-free for a different lifestyle change because they find they benefit from it. You know, it's tough to replace some of those foods, and people really do crave it, and they crave that flavor, and you've created a great product. And quinoa is just, everybody, it is just such a great food. Any way you can fit it in, you're getting the most nutrition bang for your buck with that, which is something we're always looking for. So, Ingrid, thank you so much, and everyone stay tuned because we're going to come back, and Chef Lance and I are going to get cooking.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, Smart Health Talk listeners. I'm here with Chef Lance, and we're planning a really great Valentine's dinner that, you can do for your special Valentine, and it's something that's so easy, anyone can do it. We have three main dishes on our menu that we're going to talk about how to prepare those. But first, I just wanted to start with you, Chef Lance, on like how to have just kind of a nice introduction when you're starting your dinner and having your guests over. And of course, wine is always, you know, great for that. So do you have any suggestions on, you know, which wines are really good to offer for a dinner like that?
Well, it varies. It depends on, you know, before back in the day, of course, you know, everybody was going like, you know, white goes with chicken and fish and red only goes with meat dishes. But I prefer to drink what I enjoy. And like I said, if you're going to have, you know, especially for this romantic evening, see what, you know, I think always start with a sparkling wine, you know, a sparkling wine or a champagne. You know, champagne's a little bit more pricey. But sparkling wine is also, there's some good varieties out there for you to choose from. And I think also, which is a really good wine, is a nice blush wine too. You know, do a rosé. You know, got a lot of fruit up front, and it's very dry and crisp.
I love those suggestions. And, yeah, and actually those are kind of special too because, you know, this is a special day. It's not something you would have all the time. And that's like a nice way to start off. And then if you want to, like, serve a regular wine with your dinner, then you could move to that.
Exactly. Or you could go backwards where you start with the regular wine. And then, of course, you know, after, you know, the dessert, you know, when you want to take it to the, you know, boudoir, you just take the champagne up there, you know.
Oh, yeah, with your berry pie, and, like, you could
exactly.
Feed each other, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me help you with this. Well, I have to put just a little plug in because one of our previous guests we had was from Frey Wines, which it was like the first certified organic wine in the country, and they've been around for 30 years. And after I had them on the show, I, like, had to try the wine. And when I am really sensitive to sulfates, and every time I'm drinking wine that has a lot of sulfates, it burns all the way down. So I'm just like, forget it. I can't drink this. And I notice and I've been to Cake Bread too, and I know you have lots of experience in the wine business. But, you know, I couldn't believe that wine. It was like as good as Cake Bread or not. If not better, and it didn't burn at all going down. So, you know, that's something that I would personally recommend if you wanted to make it special, is to serve an organic Frey wine, because for the price, it was less than $20 as compared to a Cake Bread. Like, how much does a Cake Bread cost?
Well, Cake Bread could range anywhere depending on what vintage you're getting. It could go anywhere from, say, $30 on up to, you know, $150, $200 a bottle.
Yeah.
And even though you're spending, you know, you want the dollar to stretch on this day and on any day. So just because you see a bottle of wine, say, for, you know, $25, $40, it's not always going to be the wine you enjoy. You know, take something a little bit more reasonably priced and see what you're going to like. Like, the Prairie wine is a great wine. It's a great vintage. You know, they got some great vintages going for them.
Well, another thing I liked about it is it actually is vegan, GMO, and gluten-free. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was really surprised to learn about some of the stuff that they put in wine, and they're even, like, genetically modifying the yeast and things like that. But I guess we should get on to, you know, our chicken, you know, and how we're going to mm-hmm. cook our chicken. And so, like, how should people plan, like, when they're going to put the chicken in the oven? What do you suggest?
Well, I suggest, even though you're getting an organic chicken, I always rinse my chicken off with cool water and pat it dry.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do.
And take the giblets out, right?
well, sometimes the giblets add a little bit more flavors. If you put some, you know, say, fresh rosemary and some fresh garlic and some fresh onions and, you know, season it with some sea salt and some fresh cracked pepper inside, you know. But you could also save the giblets for a gravy if you like, which is really good.
Yeah, that's true. I actually don't waste any of my chicken. I boil those bones. You know, I do. Don't waste any of it because it's good stuff. You know that, and people have kind of forgotten on how, you know, we really stretched a dollar and didn't waste our food in the past. So you're saying, you know, start, and, like, say your guest is going to come at 8:00. So, like, how should you plan.
Well, I think you should, you know, a chicken, a whole chicken, you know, you figure it's going to, you know, it's going to come 2 to 3.5 pounds, 2.5 to 3.5 pounds, and that's going to cook about roughly 35 minutes. And what I like to do is I like to turn the oven up all the way to broil and get that skin nice and crispy for 15 minutes. Then I turn it down to 350 and let it cook for another half hour. And then I turn it down to, you know, and I'll start that around, say, 7:30 if they're coming at 8. And then by the time, you know, you have your cocktails and you have, you know, a little appetizer. Say you do an organic cheese plate and you put some gluten-free crackers out and some fresh veggies. You know, you go to the local farmer's market and get some fresh veggies and make yourself a little, say, hummus dip or something of that nature. And, you know, by 8:30, everything's nice and ready. That chicken's ready to go.
Okay, so, you know, that gives you like a half an hour, you know, to just kind of relax and, you know, enjoy your sparkling wine. And then, you know, you could take the chicken out of the oven at 8:30 and start your dinner.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I love, you know, all those things that you were saying on how to, you know, the seasoning of it and that. I will be posting I'm hoping that you can maybe send me some details of your recipe too, because I would like to post a recipe for your the way that you do it. But we were trying to. I have a recipe that for like if you want a little spice in there, okay. Which I'm from Southern California, so I'm putting cayenne in everything. You know, one of the things that we like to use at our house is just orange juice to start off rubbing it with orange juice. And we do put some different spices together, including cayenne and red pepper flakes, and make a rub. And then after we do the orange juice, we'll put the spices on and then stuff it with a quartered orange or lemon and put some of the extra spice in there along with some smashed garlic. You know, and then have you ever done like the beer can chicken? Have you ever tried that?
Yes, I have. I have. If you go to my website, cookingwithcorrales.com, I have a recipe for a slow cooked beer chicken.
Oh, okay. I'll put that.
The crock part, which is amazing. I did that last year, and I put it up on my website. I like my blueberry recipe, blueberry pie, gluten free cookie crust is on my website also at cookingwithcorrales.com, where you could get innovative websites. And just to go back on that too is my chicken. I can do it. You can do chickens many different ways, but the most important about chicken is you don't want to overcook it. You don't want to dry it out.
Yeah. Tell us how to keep from doing that. How do we
keep
from drying it?
That's like what I said is I cook it for 15 minutes, you know, on high and then turn it down to 350 for about a half hour. And what a lot of people don't realize when they cook chicken, or even when they cook any food, that even though it says a half hour and they check it and go, oh, it's not quite ready yet, even when you pull it out of the oven, pull it off the burner, the food is still cooking.
That's a really good point, and I think a lot of people don't know that. And I've really gotten in the habit of turning things off before they even, right when they're just starting to boil, which is one of the things I do when I make the mac and cheese, too. It's like, because people leave things on too long. And they don't realize that, you know, it's hot under the pan is hot, the heat is still going through there, and that's a really good point. So, so all together with your method, you cook it for about an hour, right?
All together about 45 minutes to an hour with prep and cook time, yeah.
And you can use a thermometer too, right?
Well, what you could do, you could use a thermometer, but what I do too is I suggest you take a paring knife and you stick it into right where the breast connects to that outer wing, or what we call in the business airline wing, and you see the juices just coming out natural, and that's it. Beautiful.
Where there's no blood in there. There's just
no blood in it at all. Correct.
Okay, and it looks clear, and that's how you know. I've heard that you can like wiggle a drumstick or something too, and if it gets kind of loose, I don't know if that system works.
Yeah, you can, but, you know, the thing is this about dark meat chicken, you know, dark meat chicken even looks like, even though it's cooked, it looks like it's not done, but it is done. So that's the trick to that. Just make sure there's no blood on the bone. There usually will not be after the hour.
And if you use a thermometer, like, where should you stick the thermometer in? I know it should be...
exactly where I just said, right in that, the most meaty part of the breast by that, you know, drumstick, you know, the wing bone.
And it should be like about 180 degrees, correct?
No, no, you want it like 160, 165. You don't want
to. See, I'm so glad I asked you that.
So dry. It's going to be too dry. 160, and you pull it out, and it'll go up to 165, and that's it. You don't want, you know, that you don't want 180 because that means you're going to get a dry piece of chicken. You have to put a lot of sauce on it.
You know, and that was out there as like the standard on how you know the internal temperature. So I'm really glad that I asked you about that because yeah, we're
and especially with organic chicken, Elaine, it's you know so well taken care of. You know, and they take care of their you know, their animals so well, you're not going to, you know, get any, you know, E. coli or salmonella from that.
And it doesn't have as much fat on it either. And they
Correct.
Don't inject it with all those juices. So, you know, it is going to probably cook faster.
So true. So true.
And like, you know, having so that you get, one of the things I like about the beer can chicken, and there's actually something you could buy at the barbecue stores that is like the perfect little pan to put your chicken and holds it, and you can put spices up inside of it. It's got a little thing that goes with it. But, you know, one of the things that I like about that pan is that it's collecting all of the fat in that too at the same time. So
exactly, that's why I do a lot of chicken in my slow cooker because it just gets all that fat, the juices, and oh, to die for.
Yeah, and with the I love your version of the chicken recipe. I want to try that one myself too. With our version, we kick, just put it at 350 and do the slow cooking, you know, like for an hour and 15 at just 350 without taking it up really high. So, you know, there's like a couple of different ways, everyone, that you can try cooking your chicken. And you might even like want to go get a chicken and try to make it before Valentine's Day.
Well, exactly. Always good to play with it, Eileen. Play with the recipe. See the way it's going to work for you.
Right. And plus, sometimes time factor. You know, it's like,
that's true.
Oh, man, I thought I was going to get this chicken in. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had that other way where I could crank it up like for a while.
That's right, Eileen.
And get the and use Chef Lance's way. So, okay, well, we talked to you know, we talked about the chicken. Now, what about the mac and cheese? Because we'll have to, like, kind of speed through this other. Like, tell me some of your secrets about making mac and cheese.
My mac and cheese, I use, you know, a little bit of fat never hurt anyone. So I use heavy cream in mine, you know. But I had to do one for a client of mine the other day. And he had a client who was lactose intolerant. So I used mocha mix. And it made it really creamy. I just brought it to a simmer and added some cheddar cheese and some Parmesan cheese and some Monterey Jack and let it melt and almost make, instead of putting a roux in there, which is basically flour and butter mixed together because I wanted to make it gluten-free, I just let it get thickened up a little bit, natural reducing, and then add the pasta to it and then finish it off, bake it in the oven for about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, that one sounds good, too. we kind of agree a little bit on the mac and cheese because one of the things that the way that I like to make it is just cook my macaroni, and then I put it, drain it, put it back in the pan, and then I'm like you. I like to use at least half and half. And either you can use olive oil, but I like to use organic butter. And so put just the cream, the butter, and then the grated cheese, and just lightly toss it. And so many times I tried to make that roux and make this sauce, and it just came out like, you know, goopy, and it just never seemed to work. And when I just grate, you know, just put these ingredients in there without the flour and all that roux, it just came out perfect. Everybody loved it. So that both recipes will be posted on our website for this mac and cheese, everybody. Okay, so now we're going to move to the berry pie, the you know, kind of the crowning point of the evening. And I say forget the vegetables. You got the berry pie, and plus, you know, less time to spend eating, getting, and more time to get to other things.
exactly.
So, you know, like, tell us about how you make this pie crust.
Oh, well, the pie crust is basically the Annie and Dream chocolate orange cookies, flavored cookies. I take about 10 of them and grind them in my, you know, break them down to my food processor. And then I take some margarine, you know, which has no dairy in it whatsoever.
This is the vegan, like a vegan recipe,
correct.
Right?
This is the vegan pie. So, and I just melt about 2 to 3 tablespoons of that, and I bind the crust a little bit, and then I pat it into a pie tin or a glass pie shell, and I bake it in the oven for about 15 minutes at 350-degree oven. And then I take that out, let that cool down, and I take about 4 cups of fresh blueberries, 3 tablespoons of agave, about 1/4 cup of tapioca, minute tapioca, or you could even use tapioca flour, and about 1/4 cup of water. I bring the berries, the agave, and the water up to a slight warm boil. Then I add the tapioca. Stir it up. Don't mash it up, those berries. Keep them whole. Let it bind a little bit. Then I put them in the pie shell and bake it for about a half hour.
And then you could serve it. You could put a little whipped cream on top or...
Sure, you can put anything you want on top.
A little vanilla ice cream.
Exactly.
They get all that. So, yeah, so do some people like to have that warm, or do you just, how do you serve that at room temperature?
The few times I've served it, people saw it, and they just eat it out of the shell. They just eat it out of the pie.
They couldn't wait.
They couldn't wait. They just stick their forks in there and start eating it. Correct.
Now,
go
ahead.
Warm, serving it warm is very good, too, so.
Okay, so if they like a la mode, some people just love pie a la mode, so, you know, having a warm pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream. And one of my favorites is Julie's organic vanilla ice cream. I wanted to ask, too, like for, you know, people that want to, you know, that don't care if it's vegan or not and with love butter, like me, you know, could I substitute that? I can substitute that margarine out for organic butter, right?
Of course you can. Of course you can. I just did it the vegan style, so that's why I used the margarine. But you can use butter. I prefer butter, but, you know, I served it. For example, I made a pie last night for some clients of mine, and I did a chocolate banana cream pie with the quinoa crust.
So that crust you could use for all different kinds of pies.
Correct.
Not just the berry one.
Correct, yeah. But one thing I tell people about cooking and baking is that, you know, try to play around with it and be innovative. You know, create your own flavors and your own balance of what you really want.
Well, I was wondering, too, like the tapioca. Like, what if I didn't have any tapioca, but I had, like, some non-GMO cornstarch?
You can use that if you want. The reason why I use tapioca is because I made it for a girl who's highly allergic to corn. So I adapted it for her because she cannot eat anything with corn in it, or she gets very ill from it.
Wow. I wonder if that was, like, hard to figure out, that it was the...
No, it was pretty easy.
That
She found out. She had to be tested for years, but when she found out, she couldn't do anything with that.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if she went on for a while, you know, getting this sickness and not really, you know, wondering, like, what the heck, you know?
About 6 months she found out. She had to go through some testing and she found out.
Wow.
And when she found out, it was all cool and clear and everything.
Well, then you just have to adjust your recipe, and that's the way it is when you have celiac disease. I know it must be kind of a hard thing for people to think about, but something I feel really strongly about when it comes to celiac disease and, you know, first of all, eating gluten-free is really the only, medication per se that you have for celiac disease, because it's the gluten, you know, that is attacking you. And so diet is like the key.
Exactly. And what people don't realize is a lot of processed foods have some sort of, you know, gluten in it to preserve it.
And there are a lot, because I've been to celiac conferences, and they use a lot of corn, you know, corn and rice in their products. And this is another one of the reasons that I love Ingrid's products so much, is because the quinoa is such a concentrated grain with just full of nutrition. And some of these other products, you know, they use like, GMO corn. You know, they're using GMO corn. They're using rice products that have virtually no. It's white rice. It's not brown rice. So there's hardly any nutrition in there. And to me, if I had celiac disease, even more reason for me to want organic, Because it, to me, that's a red flag. My body is, you know, it's not tough. It's not a toughie. It's a vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to some things, and I would just really want to be careful about everything.
Exactly.
Do you feel the same about that?
Well, I think that you have to, you know, you just watch and you do things in moderation. I mean, and sometimes you could become allergic to things later on in life. You know, you can not be allergic to anything and then be allergic all of a sudden. So it just varies to what you want to do and where you want to take it. You know, I believe in what your philosophy is, but I'm, you know, a very good friend of mine has celiac disease, and she had to be really careful. She was going through this for 2 years before she discovered what was really going on with her and stuff of that nature. So once she moved forward with that, then she decided to, you know, go everything, you know, gluten-free and all that stuff. But I feel, as for me, you know, I love all kinds of food and everything. It just, as long as it's in more moderation and all in little by little.
Well, and that's one of the things I like about us, you know, talking about, you know, foods, kind of getting people back in the kitchen a little bit. Then they really learn to appreciate foods, and I'm hoping that that actually means more business for restaurants that serve like more like real food instead of fast food.
Exactly, or quick service, as everybody puts it now.
Yeah, you know, it's like people have just eaten the same thing like every time over and over again. And for me, I want a wide variety. I want to taste all different kinds of things during my lifetime, not the same thing over and over. So, Chef Lance, thank you so much. This has been really great fun, and I really hope our listeners picked up some good points and that everyone is going to be having a very romantic Valentine's Day with that you end up with a night that you'll remember for a very long time, because that's what Valentine's Day should be all about. And thank you so much, Chef Lance. You really helped make this a great show.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Okay. All right, Smart Health Talk listeners, just go to our webpage, and we're going to have a link on there that's going to have all of this information, our recipes, the podcast, and everything. So you'll have it right there to be able to have plan your Valentine's Day dinner using all of our different recipes and our advice. So please go to our website and check it out, and we have lots of other great stuff there. So click around. Thank you so much.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news at 5 o'clock. Now here's what's going on. Prosecutors accuse a Victorville man of forced sex with a victim under the age of 14, although the mentally challenged female is older. Daniel Barrick, who's 54, pleaded not guilty at his court arraignment and is jailed awaiting a preliminary hearing.
Now, sheriff's investigators would not disclose the biological age of the victim to protect her identity, but said she has the mental capacity of someone much younger. Chris Lee, spokesman for the district attorney, is confident a jury will consider that.
I mean, obviously, from the standpoint of our prosecutors, we wouldn't have filed the case in the first place if we didn't feel that it could be proved in a court of law.
Barrick fled from the Victorville home where he lived when the family member allegedly caught him in the act. He was later arrested and held on a $100,000 bail. The College Board finds an increasing percentage of California's public high school graduates are succeeding on their AP exams. Nearly 40% of California's public school grads in the class of 2011 who took the AP exams were from low-income households. L.A. County Sheriff's deputies are trying to dispel rumors among Latino families that they could be deported if they come forward with information about child sexual abuse allegations.